Okay, check 1, 2. We're here. We're live. Okay, this is a nice day. Really honored to be up here this morning. I'm glad that we have the chance to all be together with some guests, some new friends, and church family, and new friends and old friends. You know, that card actually comes into play in this message. So I'm glad you got me a death card. So. We'll try to, don't let me forget to bring that back up. So, I've been thinking a lot about today and all the things going on today. We've got some exciting activities planned and what we just talked about here. And I was thinking about what I was going to talk about. You know, I've asked people to pray for me. I've been praying a lot about this week and there's one consistent theme that keeps coming back into my mind, and it's about living a life of power, spiritual power, love, and service to each other and to God. And what I really have to say, I mean, the essence of it, like anything, can be boiled down to really 30 seconds, and I would love to just have that be impactful. But that's not how our brains work. We need a little time to kind of soak in a message and think about it. We need a little evidence and a little support for what people are saying, because anybody can talk for 30 seconds. So I have decided to expand it, and we are going to go about 53 minutes, I think, is what. Melissa, did you time it? What was it? Okay. So I just couldn't find the middle ground. I hope that's all right. And thank you for that laugh. We got one. So. No, all seriousness, we're going to get right into it, and I'm going to get right into the message. This is really, really, this is right from the heart today. A while ago, and the title is So Save Too. I want you guys to think about that. So think about what could fit into that space. So you guys that ever play word games, see if you can figure that out ahead of time. At some point, we were afforded the benefit of Mark, the disciple, recording something that Jesus said. And I'd say this is a luck. We're lucky it got recorded, but I don't think luck really had anything to do with it. In an effort to trap Jesus and make him say something wrong, some of his enemies asked him, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What do you say about this?" And actually, I'm going to come back to this in a minute. Sorry, I'm going to come back. Hold that thought. We're going to come right back to what Jesus said. I want to first of all start off today by asserting some quick facts. So if I were to sit down with someone who's never heard anything about God in their entire lives, and I had to sort of catch them up in a 30-second conversation, I might tell them a story that goes like this. And there's no time for dialogue, a lot of character development. This is not a series. This is not a trilogy. This is just, here we go. You ready? God is love, and God is life. When we ran from God, we ran from life. But we've been saved. We've been saved because we are loved. And because we are loved, we have been saved to do something. And that's what I'm talking about today. Because we are loved, we've been saved to. So back to my situation with Jesus. So Jesus is asked this question, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And a commandment is something that you're commanded to do. So you have to respond to a command. So you have to go and do it. And this is what Jesus said. He did what only Jesus could do as the greatest teacher ever. He answered the question, and he also blew away all the paradigms that people even thought were possible. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than these. So he has, in a simple response, encapsulated what God has asked of us. Essentially, love God with your emotions, your heart, that mushy stuff that we can't always control, but that ultimately makes us drive things and do decision-making. Love him with our soul, with our spiritual nature. Love him with your mind, with your intellectual abilities, with your problem solving, with your smarts, with your education, and love him with your strength. The body that he's giving you, use it for him. Love him with every possible aspect of your being. That's everything. That's everything. And the second of this, quickly following, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than this. And I mean, I don't know what to say. Sometimes I think about this. Like, here's a nice Bible. This is a this is a Bible. Okay, Bible. We've seen them. This is a pretty thick one. It's a study Bible. It's got notes and stuff in it, so it's got lots of extra interesting information. There's a lot of information in here. There's a lot of words. Just quick show of hands. Has anyone here, who in here, has read the entire Bible at some point in their life? A good 10, 20 folks? I mean, it's a long book. Don't feel bad if you haven't. And God's given us to that. He's made sure that lasts at all the ages. There's so much information. You can study your whole life and learn new things about life, about reality, about people, about what we're supposed to be doing. There's a lot of information in there. And at the same time, he speaks to us in the plainest of terms and the simplest message. Love the Lord your God with everything you have and love each other. Period. So, we've been saved for something. Now, Jesus equates love with something else. I think this is really interesting. So, in another period of time, he's talking with his friends, his disciples. All right, stay with me. And he says, I've loved you. He's speaking to his disciples, so his friends, right, his people. People that have really followed him. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, remain in my heart. You remain in my heart. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. So he's not telling us this so that we can be burdened and we can be sad. He's telling us so we can be filled with joy. And joy, in my view, is not just feeling good in the moment because I got a new outfit and it was a good deal and I'm going to go meet with some new friends and I'm just, something good happened at work and that is good. That's happiness. That's wonderful. But this is a deeper joy that doesn't come and go. That's what he's talking about. You'll be filled. Your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I've loved you. I chose you and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that whatever you ask, you will get using my name. This is my command, love each other. So in this context, we understand what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus says right here, because he obeys his Father's commands and remains in his love, we know that love equals obedience. So love equals obedience. If you love someone, you're going to obey them. If you love your spouse and they ask you to do something, I'm not saying you have to obey your spouse, but you're going to do it. If you love your mom, if you love your father, you're going to obey them. If you love the Lord, it stands to reason that you will obey what he asks you to do, if you love him. And it goes both ways, because when you obey, you also develop more love for that person. In the act of obedience, you actually deepen your love and you get love back. So love equals obedience equals love. It's all the same thing. Obeying is love and love is obedience. So because we are loved, we've been saved to what? We've been saved to serve. God is love and God is life. When we ran from God, we ran from life. And you can say that in the present tense as well. When today we run from God, we run from true life. But we have been saved. And we have been saved because we're love. And because we are love, we've been saved not to just do whatever. We've been saved to serve. And let's get into why. So if we've been loved and we've been saved to serve, why? Why is that? So Peter was talking with Jesus. So fast forward a little bit in Jesus' life. It's a very interesting conversation that, again, we've been blessed to kind of find that it was recorded long ago. It was shared. There were testimonies. People said, this happened. They wrote it down, and we know it because it's in the Bible. So after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yes, I do, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs. If you love me, he didn't say, if you love my lambs, feed my lambs. He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. And Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter said, you know that I love you. You must be thinking that Peter's antenna are up here. It's like, okay, Jesus is making a point, I think, because he just asked me the same question twice, and he's got a pretty quick wit, I think. I think Jesus is pretty good at reading people, if you know what I mean. Then Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And a third time, Jesus asked, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And so at this point, Peter, being a strong and yet emotional person, is a little hurt. Peter was hurt, saying, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Now, Peter is someone who's a fascinating person. We all have a little bit of Peter in us. We all have a little bit of Peter in us, I think. He was, unfortunately, Peter is one of the people who had the most famous, the most infamous unfriending in history. So he had the most famous unfriending. Here's a little, so that's what I'm talking about, you know, the unfriending aspect. I don't know if Facebook still does that, honestly. I don't know, but I don't unfriend people, so I wouldn't know. But Jesus asked Peter, you know, he said that someone's going to, he told him he was going to deny him, right? So Peter was boasting of his steadfast friendship and love for Jesus. He said, I would never do that, Lord. Never, never, never. And Jesus said, yeah, you're going to deny me three times. And we know how that story goes, right? It says it right there. He denied him three times when Jesus needed him the most. So Peter, at this point, this conversation that we've been having, is a crushed individual, emotionally rock bottom. Everything he thought he was fired up. He loved Jesus, and he totally blew it, completely, utterly blew it. So it seems like Jesus is asking him these questions on purpose. We know he loves Peter a lot. We know he has a special purpose for Peter. By commanding Peter to serve, he gave Peter new life. He allowed Peter to build himself up. Jesus built Peter up by telling him to serve others. We're all called to serve. God is love and God is life. When we ran from God, we ran from life. But we've been saved, and we've been saved because we are loved. And because we are loved, we've been saved to serve. And we've been saved to serve because by serving, we find true life. Finding true life provides the lasting happiness and the overflowing joy, which, by the way, further affirms that God loves us because he made all that happen. So, quick question, rhetorical. Why don't we serve? Or why, if someone chooses not to serve, why don't we do it? What stops us? I mean, if you take what the Bible says about this and you take Jesus' teaching at face value, and I encourage you to do so, what is it? Well, we have to give of ourselves, and that's hard to do. It's against our nature. It's selfishness, right? I don't know anybody that isn't selfish sometimes. We are. It's sad, but that's truth. We are selfish. We don't like to give up control and dismantle our processes and the control we have over every aspect of our life. It's hard to give that up. And I would say without Christ, and I mean without Christ, that's the key phrase here, without Christ, that's painful. It's painful to do that. It's painful to give more than you receive. it's painful to, you know, die to self. That's why I like the death card, because, you know, in service, you do die a little bit to yourself. It's a different kind of death. So dying to self is painful, and I think that's why Jesus actually used this mode of explanation, this death metaphor, because that's exactly what's required of us. He said in Luke chapter 9, he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, my follower, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. So Jesus introduced this concept of spiritual death. And in his case, he also was talking about his own death. What good is it for someone to gain the entire world? What good is it for someone to retire comfortably? What good is it for someone to reach CEO at all costs? What good is it for someone to leave their family behind while they pursue whatever pleasures they have in mind? What good is it to achieve all of that if you lose yourself? I cannot be thankful enough to our Lord for sharing these things and coming here and teaching us so we can understand in human words some of these important things. It's one of the most profound and ironic things I can think of. The more you hold on to your own passions, your own preferences, your own time, money, energy, to the expense of God's will, to the expense of serving him, the less he can work in you. And if the Holy Spirit isn't working in you, then you're falling away from life. So, this concept of dying to truly live, is also consistent with another interesting story that was put in the Bible. It's a little conversation with a guy named Nicodemus. This was a man who was sensitive to God's leading. He saw Jesus working, and he knew something was up. He was a seeker. His antenna were up. He was open a little bit. So, he came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know you're from God. You've been doing signs. This is proof that you are from God. And Jesus replied to him, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again. So we were just talking about death, dying to self. If we are born again, you can see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, what do you mean? And I don't know if Nicodemus does not actually understand, if he's actually like, can you clarify this? I didn't hear what you said. Or if he's just trying to, like, come on, what are you talking about? I don't know. Maybe people have studied that. I don't know if we understand, but he's saying, come on, give me more, Jesus. What do you mean? How can a man go back in his mother's womb? Help me out. And Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can only reproduce human life. Okay? And we do a lot of that at RGF. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. Don't be surprised. The wind blows where it wants. You see what it does. You don't know where it comes from. So he likens the Holy Spirit to the wind in sort of its effects on us. You can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so you cannot explain how people are born in the Spirit. We don't really know. I mean, we know some things that go into the process. We know things that we're supposed to do. We have commands to love and serve each other. But what happens inside us is something that is hard to explain. And I don't know that we really need to either. There are mysteries in life. Newsflash, we don't know everything. Despite the advances of science and all we know about the natural and physical world, we do not know everything. There is a whole other side to humanity and to consciousness in life that we don't understand, but we do know about it from the Bible. So, on a personal note, you know, I realize some of you guys have, if you've been coming to RGF for a while, it's a virtual certainty that you've heard me tell a little bit of my story here and there. But I need to say this to be very clear. As you guys were coming in, we were having a little prayer together, an ordination for elder, and You know, this is an honor and a privilege and a sacred obligation. And I think back, not to share too much right now, but I think back to my life in past years, and it's hard to picture how that turn happened in my own life. I'm not somebody who struggled with alcoholism or drugs. You know, that wasn't part of my experience. That was never a temptation for me. I'm not someone who was, you know, I don't know. My point is, the struggle that I had was not really visible to a lot of other people. It's the stuff you can't see. It's the stuff in your heart. And your parents and your family and your friends, they don't always know what's going on in your heart. But God does. And at some point, I said, okay, I think I hear you, God. And what started was a process that's hard to explain. You can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Not exactly. You can talk about actions and behaviors and things that happen before and after and how people change. We can see that. We can touch it. We can record it. But you can't talk about what happens in the heart. It is a miracle what the Holy Spirit does in us. It's a miracle. So, you know, what's happening today, my point is all about God. It is not about me. Even though I'm up here and I'm sharing, and we had a prayer, and, you know, there's some recognition of what God has done in my life. It is not. It's a recognition of what God has done in my life. I'm the recipient, a participant, okay? I'm Jonathan Jeffrey Lucas. That's my name. I was born on earth, and therefore I'm a sinner and I'm selfish by nature. That's it, okay? But what's also true is that I'm the recipient of a complete and total heart transplant, okay? And this is not something that happened quickly. So just as Jesus told us, it's hard to explain how it all works, and it's only possible with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is calling us all towards Christ. The Holy Spirit is literally sent by Christ to dwell in us, to teach us, to guide us, to comfort us and counsel us, and also to fill us with God's love. That's where the love comes from. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. But the Holy Spirit has a really hard task because we resist him. And we all do. We all do it. Everybody. We all do it, either actively or passively or both, off and on, because of that nature that we're constantly fighting. So I just want us to, as a church, all recognize that the Holy Spirit is calling each one of us. Each one of us has something in our life that isn't quite right, that God is calling us to give up or to give to him or to stop because it makes room for him. And I don't know what that is in your life, but I just want to speak to you about this for a minute. So there's a very simple spectrum that I think about. We all have a chance to, every day, and really with every decision we make, you know, focus on the self and focus on love. God commanded us to love, commanded us to serve. Every day we can do that with what we have. We have some time, we have some energy, we have some talents, we have some money. How are we going to use it? So we resist the Holy Spirit, but let's not be confused about why we're here. I mean, we were talking about it, right? Why are we here? We were saved to what? That's right. We're saved to serve. So, you know, here in Virginia, we have a lot of things that we can do. We have a good economy with decent jobs, and a lot of us work. Work is a big part of life, and work is good. There's been sermons about how good work is from God. But it's also easy to make work our priority in life. isn't it? It's easy to make a lot of otherwise good things the reason why we exist. And maybe it's too subtle of a nuance in how we think about things, because there's so many good things we have. But we have to remember why we're here. So today, I just want to invite you guys to, I'm going to pray in just a minute together, but I just want to speak right from the heart to everybody here, to say no to the self and say yes to the Holy Spirit. And I hope that whether that's the first time you're doing it or the first time in a long time, that you just take this opportunity. We have an opportunity right now. We're all together. You're here, you're bathed and clothed and hopefully well fed, and you have an opportunity right now to respond to what God's been doing in your life. And maybe today some things have come to light. As you're thinking about the music and the prayer and the message we've had today, maybe some things have come to light. Or maybe it's been coming for a long time. Just take this chance right now as we pray together in a minute to give it over to God and say, you know what, God, I'm going to take a little bit of a step in your direction and just say no to myself and say yes to you, because your life, do that with me. And I hope that for those of you that, again, whether it's the first time in a long time, I mean, there's so much to say. God talks about heaven and the kingdom of God being a banquet, being a feast, and that we all have a seat there. All of us have a seat there. If you don't have a seat there, you have a vacant chair waiting for you. Take today and do it as we pray together in just a minute. And for those of you who are followers of God and longtime servants, today take a chance to think about your own life and how you've grown and what you've learned over your lives. Take stock of it. Shed every ounce of spiritual pride, if you have any. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And let's all come together as a group and be charged up. Because I'll tell you, some people think about knowing God, and they know it's an individual thing. They know it's a personal decision. It's, you know, we have personal relationships with God. But for whatever reason, he has us come together. He has us come together in a church. I think it's because we are to help each other. The idea of a individual sort of, you know, isolated Christianity is kind of a myth, because when you are born again, you're put into this body of believers. You're put into this church. You're put into RGF. If you're here, you're put into RGF. We're here for each other. And time again, we see miracles worked in individuals' lives, but all over history and all over the Bible, we see how God has worked when groups of people, 5 people, 12 people, 100 people, guess how big we are? We're about 100 people today. 100 people all come together for God, and he works in power. So give a little of ourselves. Go to the right a little bit. Make a little more room for the Spirit in your life. And you will benefit me. You're going to benefit the person next to you. Because as a church body, we all benefit when we all give a little bit together. And that's another reason why we can't just be out on our own all the time. We need to be part of that church, because you need us and we need you. God is love. And God is life. When we ran from God, we ran from life itself. We've been saved, and we've been saved because we're loved. Because we're loved, we've been saved to serve. And we've been saved to serve because by serving, we find true life. And it's that true life that provides that overflowing joy that every single human that has ever lived desires, and that we have actually been given. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're here to worship you. We've sung our hearts out, and we've sung beautiful words about your love and how you will always be there for us, and you always have been. Today, my prayer for our church is to receive the Holy Spirit in each of our hearts. You know what we've done in our entire lives. all of the individual actions and behaviors that pull us away from you or bring us towards you. And you've come down to earth and you've taught us what we need to do. You've given us the recipe for joy and for true life by loving you with everything in our entire body and loving each other just as we love ourselves. So I pray today in our own hearts that you speak to us, whatever it is. And church, I want you to pray with me. Whatever it is in your own heart that is holding you back from the Spirit, from having that spiritual power in your life to change. The power to change is the most phenomenal power you've given us, Lord. You've given us the ability to change our nature. That doesn't happen in the animal kingdom. We are not animals. We are people. And you've given us the ability to change our spiritual nature. But it's hard, God. It hurts. It hurts to give it up. It hurts to admit that maybe we're wrong. And even if we've known you, maybe we've made mistakes and just... You are so good. God, we thank you for Tacoma Park visiting today and being part of our church family today. And the exciting things we're doing this afternoon to reach out and celebrate you together. So I pray you send your Spirit in a special way among all of us for the rest of the Sabbath day. And as we sing together, work in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.
Nothing to come against, no one to stand between us, God. stand between us.
Amen.
I want to invite Pastor Cecil, Cecil and Pastor Ozzy to come up front to introduce to us, before we have our closing prayer, the youth group, and just tell us a little bit about what we're going to be doing on in the afternoon. Then we'll have our prayer, and we'll give instructions for the potluck.
Absolutely. Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you all. We bring you all greetings and blessings from Tacoma Park Seventh-day Adventist Church. Our senior pastor, Henry Wright. I'm sure you guys are familiar with him. So we come in with blessings and a great opportunity. Thank you for welcoming us, Pastor Pablo, and opening up your opportunity for us to come and fellowship with you all. Thank you for the word, Elder Lucas, and for the praise and worship, awesome opportunity. And church, I want to just pray heaven's highest blessings upon you all. You guys, how long have you guys been going here?
About 10 years.
10 years, amen. Something about a smaller church, you guys are able to move and do things more nimbly than a bigger church like Tacoma Park. So we pray blessings upon you guys as you guys continue to serve, like Elder Lucas prayed. Preach today. We are saved to serve, and we are teaching that by example. Same thing with our youth department. And I'm going to have Cecil talk about what these T-shirts mean and what we're going to be doing this afternoon.
Morning, church. All right, my name is Cecil Cleese. I'm the youth director with our department over at Tacoma Park. And as you can see on our shirts, it says Encedo. Encedo stands. It's Latin, and it actually stands for ignite, to encourage, to inspire. And so our focus is not just to inspire and encourage our young people, but to teach them to ignite and inspire those around them, their community. And so we're excited about doing that through random acts of kindness. That's our focus. We understand that the easiest way for us to serve is just to simply love. Is that okay? And so we want to teach our young people that it doesn't have to be this grandiose thing that you do to touch others. Just simply showing acts of kindness can be ways for us to touch. So today, and as a part of our trip that we do every single year, we've been doing this for years. It's awesome because Ase and I grew up in the church as little kids, and eventually, as you can see, we now are serving the same way we were served as young people many, many years ago. And so every year we take our young people out on a summer trip somewhere different, and as a part of that trip, we make sure we spend time doing outreach. So we give them daily outreach challenges that they do, as well as a specific full day afternoon of outreach that we love to do with the local church. So we're so excited about doing that with you today. So today what we're going to do is we're going to divide up into groups, and we're going to do a number of different things touching our community. We're going to give some free hugs. Everybody loves to get a nice warm hug from someone. Give some hugs. We're going to actually also open doors for people. You know, it's a lost thing. Folks nowadays, you know, you walk behind someone, they close the door in your face. So we're going to open doors for people, to let people, as they're going, wherever they're going in different places, we're going to pass out some bottled water, we're going to pray with folks, we're going to sing to folks. So it's a variety of things that we're going to do. The challenge is simple. We're going to give everyone the instructions, we're going to sit down together, we're going to make some poster boards, honk if you love Jesus, and some different things, and then we're going to go out as we divide up into our groups, and we have the focus is who can go through all of the different challenges and get back to the church first. So, you know, we're excited about having you all be a part. We're going to add you to our youth groups so we can all be one group working together. And then, you know, as our different groups are going different places, we'll try to touch the community in a variety of different ways, doing just simple, random acts of kindness. And so we're super excited about joining you in this way of service today. And we thank you for opening your church to us and to our young people as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And as we come back here around 5:30, all right, 5:30, we're going to have some ice cream, we're going to sing a song, and then we're just going to have a little devotional and debrief.
And then one of the exciting things that we heard about that I love is that as you're talking to people in the community, invite them back to have the ice cream with us. So we're going to invite them to come back to our ice cream social we're having when we come back at 5:30, okay? So tell everyone, as you're talking to folks, as you're interacting, hey, listen, we're having an ice cream social, you're invited to, and invite them to come out and be a part of that.
All right. Okay. So let's pray. Then we're going to ask every able-bodied person. We don't discriminate men or women. If you're able-bodied, we're going to set a few tables out back, and we're going to have our potluck together. So let's pray for all that. Our Heavenly Father, we love because you first loved us. And we serve because you served us. And you served us with the most beautiful gift, which was your one and only most precious Son, Jesus Christ, whom you willingly gave up so we could understand the depth and the breadth and the width and the infinite size of your love. So we thank you for that gift. And when we ask, what does love require of us? May we, in humble service, in humble worship, just love our neighbor as we love us, as we love you, as you love them, as you love us. And as we give of ourselves in that precious service, may our heart come to beat a little bit closer to your heart. As we love as you love, unconditionally, uninterestedly, through random act of kindness, may we get a tiny little foretaste of your goodness and your love. So be with us and help us to increasingly be more willing to serve and to obey that most precious commandment to love our neighbors just as you have loved us and you love them. Lord, we're also going to have fellowship now. We're going to have food. So I thank you for all the busy hands that provided them so lovingly. And may it strengthen them, may it nourish us. So we thank you for that blessing as well. And as we go into the activities this afternoon, may you protect us, may you lead us, and may people experience a little bit of your love in everything that we do. As we go home this week, everywhere we go, communities, neighborhoods, workplaces, schools, some of us, not yet, but very soon, may we be ambassadors of our King, Jesus Christ. So we thank you for all this. And we pray, knowing that there's no way we could ever deserve it. But we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.